This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. Happy Scoop Year. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week for the first episode of 2023 are Sam Claiborne.
I'm quietly clapping.
Justin Davis.
Scoop.
And Colin Stevens joins us
today. Hey, gamers.
Hello, everybody. Happy New Year. Happy Scoop Year. We've got a great show for you this week to kick off the new year. This is our big 2023 preview. 2023 could be one of the big ones. If everything goes according to plan and a bunch of these games don't get delayed, right. Every month has multiple big games coming out for the first half of the month, except for April. We'll get to that. It's looking like this could be one of the great years. It could be a 2007. It could be a 2011. It could be a 1982. We'll see if these games don't get delayed. It should be pretty good. We've got a great image of what the first half of the year looks like. The back half of the year is still kind of a question mark. There's big games that are expected to come out this year that don't have a release date yet. And I think there are some games coming out this year expected that you might have forgotten about, and it will be fun to remind you of all those. But first, What I Did on My Holiday Break by Damon Hatfield. I played a whole heck of a lot of Vampire Survivors. Nice. Let me tell you, and that is a Damie-ass game. Played Vampire Survivors, right?
Yeah, I played a lot of it.
Yeah, so good. Colin, have you played it?
I have not. I know I should, but is it on Switch?
I think it is on Switch. Yeah.
Okay, then I'll play it.
It's on mobile as well.
It's on mobile, yeah. Which is actually, it's one of the few games that I would say would probably work pretty well on mobile. Yep. And it's on Xbox Game Pass. Sam, have you checked this out yet?
No, this is the first time I've even seen what it looks like.
So I think you should definitely check it out because it's cool. Like it's the whole like theme is a ripoff of Castlevania. And actually I'm a little bit surprised that Konami hasn't stepped in because everything from like the holy water to the Bible to the boomerang to the axe is just everything is left straight from
it's fine.
I mean sure, I'm not
what else are you going to kill vampires with?
I think
I'd like to know.
Except I think that you
assume
are,
that the
I think,
Bible is public domain. You know what I mean?
I just like really Sam just touched on something that's pretty important, which is I don't know. I think you are a vampire, or maybe you're fighting vampires. I don't know. I played this game like
a lot of different. Yeah, you're fighting a lot of different. Like your skeletons, ghosts, werewolves, Medusa.
Are
heads.
You the vampire survivor?
I don't know. I played this game like a dozen hours and I don't know what the lore is of like, you know, yeah, I don't know if I'm the vampire, if all these monsters are vampires, monsters.
I mean, sometimes in Castlevania, you are the vampire and sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're the vampire hunter. Sometimes you're just a little girl, but you're always killing Frankensteins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damon, have you done the 30-minute, like reached the 30-minute time limit?
I reached the 30-minute and I think once you reach that, like a boss shows up, like the boss.
Yeah, right? So yeah. the game sort of has a soft cap of like runs last 30 minutes, and if you manage to make it 30 minutes, death comes and kills you. And this is a very minor spoiler. You can defeat death and keep going, but it's kind of built into the game. Like you build your character in a specific way, and then you know, then you unlock there's another hidden character and stuff. But like runs are really kind of intended to end at 30 minutes.
Yeah. So I made it there, and then I immediately was killed. I thought I just I failed on the boss, but apparently that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, you have to. You won't exceed it unless you build your character in a specific way to keep going.
Okay. I know I was a little bit late to the party, but for Sam and anyone out there that hasn't played Vampire Survivors yet, it's a dead simple roguelike with a horror medieval setting, and it's a no button game. It's like Sam. It's like Robotron. If there was only one stick for you to move, and you fire automatically.
Okay.
There's no buttons. It's just a D-pad.
I know. Game. Like it's I've heard bullet hole bandied around with it, bullet hell bandied around with it. But like really, it's like games couldn't put this many things on screen until kind of recently.
Back then, yeah.
And when so games now you're look seeing like this. We're seeing like people turn up the knobs on a bunch of different genres right now. And this looks like one of them. This is like, what if you did Robotron, but did it times 100 because you can now, which is really cool. I'm sure they would have loved to do that in 1983.
What I love about it is that all the weapon, like you just, it, like that feeling of power in this game is one of the best in all of video games, because you start with this whip and it's so slow and so weak and you're like, the whip sucks. But then it's like, once you get like 5 or 6 or 7 whip upgrades, like then the whip starts to feel crazy and strong and it heals you and it destroys everything. And same with the holy water and same with the garlic, like same with everything in the game. You just kind of have to hold on until it upgrades and gets strong enough that you can keep going. And each enemy drops these little gems, and these gems are the currency that you use to upgrade stuff. And so you have to play aggressively or you'll fall behind and you lose. So you have to like really try to go as fast as you can and kill as much stuff as you can to sort of get ahead of the power curve and stay stronger than the enemies that keep coming after you. It's great. Yeah. It's perfect. Perfect game.
It's so simple. There's several different, heroes you can choose from that have different, powers and abilities. And then you can unlock more as you progress. You unlock new biomes. And like all the best roguelikes, through a combination of luck and your choices, you can end up, completely OP, which is great. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I love that.
Vampire Survivors is fantastic. Would have been on my short list of the best games I played last year, but I didn't play it until the new year. Sam, I was delighted to hear that you've been playing Elden Ring.
The Damon method.
Yeah.
To a T. I've been consulting Damon about it too. So I went back in and I, used our guide to the things to do first. I changed my character to samurai because I wanted that early game weapon advantage that Damon had talked about. And I don't mind sneaking a lot. I actually really enjoy that. So I went back in, and then what my key goal was right now was to get to that warp that takes you to a grinding spot. Mm-hmm. Early on. Yep. And I did that. I've been grinding for a couple of days. And that, that helps kind of, I think, balance the game for the way I want to play it, which is like, I want to be stacked and enjoy myself and then explore, which again, like that's not for everybody. Some people want to like parry and learn how to do great combat. I don't give a crap about that stuff. I want to see what the world is like. So I've been grinding, killing these stupid little things that walk around this field way off in the corner of the world, just like Damon described so many moons ago. However, last night I was like, okay, I've been doing this for a while. It's time. I'm going to go see, like I was at the place where there's that troll that blocks you just like really early in the game, not the first world boss or anything like that. That's just kind of a very minor like world thing. Yep. So I had already beat that troll actually on my own by doing like hit and runs with the horse, the steed. But then I went back and I was like, this will be easy now. It wasn't. It was exactly the same. So then I was like, okay, well, I'll go off and explore. And I immediately got warped to a mine with a bunch of things that if I touched them, they killed me. Mm-hmm. Then I was trying to do, I went to go, do this other thing and a dragon came and killed me. So I'm not quite there yet. So I'm going to go back. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go back and grind some more. But I need to know what I should do immediately next, Damon. What do I do now? Because you said you had a breakthrough. You're like, then I went back and I used the boss as a total pushover. I don't know who you're talking about or what you were trying to do immediately after you were grinding.
After that troll is sort of the first boss.
Yeah, and all the NPCs talk about that boss a lot. So what I should do is get to the level where I can pretty easily handle that boss, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need a good spirit summons. That's really, really important. Mm-hmm. What focuses the game is just choosing what gear you want to go for. Because that'll tell you where you need to go, what you need to kill. You know, it's a multi-step process for everything.
But if I look up best weapons or best spirit summons, it's like, it's just gobbledygook. It's like, so I don't know, it's like subjective. 90 hours away.
You can get those wolves, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sam.
I have the wolves. So that's the only spirit summon I have.
You started as a samurai, right?
Yeah.
So I would recommend going for a blood loss build. It can be super overpowered if you focus on it. If I remember correctly, one of the first really good blood loss weapons you can get is like the Bloodhound's Fang or something like that.
Yeah.
And you can get it like basically right after where that troll is, I think. So you can get it very early in the game, and it's something that I use most of the game.
Okay.
And then look up the Rivers of Blood Katana.
I watched a video about that.
Yeah, so it's pretty late game, but as soon as you can get to it, get it, and it is incredible. I kind of cheesed my way through the rest of the game because that thing was so overpowered. But
that's cool. Yeah, you're what about armor? Am I just being a total chump because I don't have any armor?
Well, I like being light and rolling and dodging a lot, personally.
Yeah, armor, it does affect your weight. Don't go above, like, medium.
Yeah.
Heavy. Don't a medium build.
Yeah.
But good armor is also important, and you can get good medium armor.
But you said, Damon, and I don't need you to retell the whole story, but at one point the game clicked for you, and it was past that boss. It was some other area.
It was in the first, legacy dungeon, I guess. So past the troll, past that first boss, you enter the first legacy dungeon. And when I went through that whole thing, that's when I was really like,
and okay, what did I'm you like board. About it specifically? You were able to like cheese enemies or something? I can't remember.
Yeah, I was able to like, you know, figure out ways past enemies. Like that you'd be on like a balcony that you had to go through. It was like a funnel. And there's all these like flying, really annoying flying enemies that kept killing me. But I realized you can just jump off the side of the ledge, land on a roof, you know, and just completely bypass those enemies. And there's just a million things like that in the game. Mm-hmm. It's wide open for you.
Cool. I also finished Better Call Saul's latest season.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. That finale?
Which was a tough watch, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But great.
The first half of the season almost has, like, it's like an action season. Mm-hmm. And then the second half is the exact opposite, right? Because it culminates with slowing down the story and kind of showing what happens in a different timeline. It's so good.
It's great. I love it. It's interesting. They really didn't spend any time at all with, like, Saul as we know him in Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. It's just like the long transformation, and then it wraps up, and you know we know what happens in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, and like seeing what happens to Kim is like brutal, right? Because you always want to know what's going to happen to the characters you don't see in Breaking Bad, right? Like what happened to those characters? And
I mean, there's a
retcon that, right?
Yeah, but not as brutal as what happens to a couple other favorite characters.
Yeah, it's bad.
Anyway. The first half of season 5 feels a lot like Breaking Bad to me, just like sort of in the pace and tone and feel and sort of. Is it 6? Is 6? Yeah, sorry about
six
that.
6 is the bounce.
Because it's a lot more of like the cartel stuff.
Yeah.
But and then like you said, the second half of that season is almost like sort of a fever dream because it just feels so different, but it's so unique and I love it so much. But I decided to start rewatching Breaking Bad recently.
Nice.
And I just got past the episode Better Call Saul where they introduced Saul Goodman, and it feels so funny. Like, he still feels like the correct character. They definitely did, like, perfect building. But it is funny because he's, like, supposed to be older, but he's ostensibly younger, clearly. Yeah. So it's kind of a weird disconnect. But it's so kind of gratifying watching Breaking Bad after watching Better Call Saul because, like, Better Call Saul just makes Breaking Bad better. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to keep going.
Breaking better. they do a few, you know, like actor reprisal scenes as like that's supposed to take place at different timelines when they're all older, and it's kind of like Legolas in The Hobbit. It's like some people can pull it off, and then others you're like, nah.
Aaron Paul can't play Jesse Pinkman anymore. I love Aaron Paul. I love Aaron Paul. He's supposed to be like 21 or 22 years old. Like he can't do it anymore, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though he says yo a lot, it still doesn't work.
Let's see. Justin, did you play anything over the holiday break?
Yeah, I just looked it up. I'm up to 181 hours in Factorio. That's just all. And I think that's like, so it's never going to be my most played game ever because that's World of Warcraft, unfortunately. But like MMOs don't count, right? I was up to something like like the 20 days in World of Warcraft. So, but in terms of single player non-MMO games, that's 181. That might be the game that I have played the most now in my life. And I am not slowing down at all. That's it. All I think about, and having dreams about conveyor belts now. You know, we're talking about most anticipated. There's the game's first and only expansion is coming, I think, this calendar year, probably. So that's up there for me. It's just, it's all I do. And I think I mentioned it on the show before that the game has very, very extensive, some of the best modding support in all of video games ever. And so as a result, there's these mods that completely change. It's like a completely separate game. So it's like, how can someone play 1,000 hours of Factorio? It's like, well, you know, now I'm going to play this person's mod that changes it all into like Steam tech. And now I'm going to play this person's mod that sends you into space. Like, it's a completely, you know, it's like, I've described it before. It's like Factorio 2, 3, and 4 are already in Factorio as these total conversion mods that turn it into a totally different game. So I'm playing a mod right now called Industrial Revolution. That's just, it's just the best. Can't get enough of it. I'm setting up a big train network. I have to deliver. See, the problem, Damon, is that I need to make red circuits. I need to make advanced computer circuits, but they require gold plating. And the only gold ore was all the way on the other side of the world. And so in order to get the gold ore back into my main base, I needed to make train locomotives, and that required engine parts. And then I had to make the engine parts and make the trains and lay down all the train track. And that's my current project, is getting my big train network up and running.
Cool. Well,
I want to see what the Sim Ant mod looks like for that. Yeah. Also, it's funny that you mentioned like lifetime games you've spent the most time playing. Like, we were so stupid when we were kids that it's like really hard to add up the amount of hours we actually played like Super Mario World. Like, what if we actually played Super Mario World for 40 days? You know, like, I don't know.
Exactly. It's one of the two. Either I spent 1,000 hours playing Super Mario 64, or it just looms so large in my head. They're like, no, like, I played the game for like, you know, I played it and beat it and moved on. But it just, it made a mark on like my soul that like allows it to be over indexed in my brain. And I don't actually know which it is.
Or like when you're really young, it's like, well, if I actually played Super Mario Brothers 1 for that much time, then I would be really good at that game. But like, no, I wouldn't. I was like terrible at it. I probably couldn't beat the first level for a year.
Right.
And that was like kind of pre-game help in a lot of ways too.
Totally. You know? Until classified information.
Until the official Nintendo Player's Guide came out.
Yeah, right. I probably spent like 50 hours trying to find Mew under a truck in the original Pokemon games. Because someone lied to me.
That was a rumor.
In the playground, someone lied to me, and I spent way too much time out of my life doing that.
Did you ever get your Mew?
I found out how to trick the game into giving me a Mew. There's a sort of glitch you can do to force
a Game Shark or something.
Yeah, basically it's this very quick way where there's like two trainers you don't interact with. You make sure that you don't fight them, and then once you have fly, you have one of them start like walking towards you, and then you fly away, and then you go to another and have them start walking towards you, and you fly away, and then you go into this grass, and then you'll find a level 7 Mew.
Yeah, that's it's like speedrun shit. It's like you just completely rewrote the code by entering button commands. That's really cool. I'm glad that that's included in it. There was one that you could only get through trading, right? Through like a movie theater distribution or something like that?
I think it was the subsequent games they started having sort of like events and stuff. Like GameStop used to have a lot of, and still does have a lot of, sort of like local events where you can
what was the official way to get Mew then in the one?
There was never an official way to get Mew in the first games. It was just in the code. At least I don't think so.
And then there's like Missing No was like another like fun
total glitch thing. Mm-hmm. And that glitch I believe you sort of got in a similar way to the way that you
that's so cool. Love it.
Anyway, yeah.
Colin, did you play anything notable over the break?
Very sort of just by chance, I played Pokemon Scarlet.
Cool.
Obviously I've been a lifelong Pokemon fan. I very much agree with Reb's review. I think that game's a 6 because I think it's just it's ugly, but that's whatever, I can forgive that, but like it hard crashed on me a few times. The frame rate is abysmal, there's constant lighting issues. there was one time that I tried to catch a Pokemon and it stayed frozen for like 2 minutes and then started ticking. And then it was like, you caught the Pokemon. I was like, what the hell is happening? But there's a lot of really good fundamental bones underneath. And I was going to wait until I got more updates to play it. But then I was stuck at my parents' house in Colorado and all I had was my Switch. And so I was like, screw it. I'll just play Pokemon. But yeah, there's a great game underneath it, but there's a lot of crap.
Like the open world Pokemon game that they built is so cool, and it's like so un-Nintendo that it's so inaccessible right now. Like un-Nintendo. I cannot wait for that game to be a different game that you can play, because like some iteration of Pokemon coming out soon is going to be this amazing open world RPG, which is just going to set the world alight. Like it's just, I'm so excited for that, but it's years away, I think. Mm-hmm.
I really hope that this is like a sort of a come to Jesus or a come to Arceus moment for Pokemon, because Arceus, the game, not the joke that I just made, but the game that came out at the beginning of last year, is really, really, really good. It also has a lot of visual issues and some performance issues, but not as much. But that game should have been delayed a year, and then this game should have been delayed another year, and they could have still had a Pokemon game every year, but they didn't because they wanted the sales. And clearly the sales are still going strong because it sold like 10 million copies in 3 days. But I have to imagine Nintendo is very upset at the technical performance of this game.
But not at the sales, because it's selling really well.
Exactly, exactly. So I have to hope that they're sort of taking a step back and sort of reevaluating how they make these, but we'll see.
They'll be able to compare it to Zelda, which has been delayed. And if delays can actually get big open world games working on the Switch, that'll be great. Everything will be fine. If they can't, we'll know that, hey, maybe it's time to have a more powerful console.
Yeah, maybe. I also watched a couple mediocre movies over the break.
Me too. I watched bad movies, man.
I watched Glass Onion.
No, yeah, I loved it.
I liked it.
I liked it too.
It's not bad, but I didn't think it was nearly as good as Knives Out, which I love.
Yeah, I thought it was equally as good. I liked it a lot.
I'm not the type of person that like tries to figure out a movie while I'm watching it. I just let the movie happen and just come over me. But like I could tell everything that was going to happen in this movie.
Really?
I can do it.
What about I won't go into it, but what about the twist of the billionaire and his personality and success and everything in the end, which was like extremely timely?
Well, yeah,
coincidentally, that was just the funniest sequence of reveals.
I did like the big ending. That was good. That part I liked.
Yeah, I think it's campier and funnier than Knives Out. But I actually rewatched both of them just a few days ago with someone who hadn't seen them before, because I did a little murder mystery party on New Year's
Eve.
That's
fun. Yeah,
I love it. I solved the murder. It was the housewife. I still think that I prefer Knives Out, but I like both of them. What I really want is the third movie to be a half rom-com with Benoit Blanc and his husband,
Hugh
Grant. And then maybe they're trying to be on a vacation and they accidentally have to solve a murder together.
Right,
what I want the third Knives Out movie to be.
I think Daniel Craig's character is so good.
Yep.
I don't know. Infinitely watchable for me.
I liked all his outfits.
Yeah, he's great.
His outfits.
I also had no idea that Angela Lansbury was still around.
Yeah.
Not anymore. She didn't pass away.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that was a posthumous appearance. I didn't realize.
Yes,
that.
Exactly.
Filmed a cameo and then passed away.
Okay. Gotcha. The other one was Bullet Train with Brad Pitt. I don't know if anyone saw that.
I was this close, so I was gonna get your verdict actually.
It's on Netflix, so you know.
Like if it's a corny, like lots of fighting movie, I'll totally watch it. But it'll kind of boring to me.
The problem is that it reminded me of all the post Pulp Fiction Tarantino knockoffs that came out in the late 90s.
Oh god.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like they filmed it back then and just forgot to release it. but like, I mean, it's got two hitmen who have witty banter with each other. And the black hitman has a spiel that he recites to people. And then there's like, you know, elaborate flashback sequences that seem like they're setting up an important character, but then that character immediately dies in a funny way. It's very much like that, except none of the action scenes are that great, not very well choreographed. And it has a lot of bad CGI in it.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple times I was like, what? Why is Brad Pitt in this movie? Did he owe someone a favor?
Yeah, I mean, he's not doing as much these days. So
he's in Babylon right now.
Yeah, and that's supposed to be a real stinker.
I saw Babylon.
Nice. Tell me.
It's not as good as his first three movies. Definitely not. But there's a couple of sequences in that movie that are like some of the best filmmaking I've ever seen. Like super, super enthralling and funny and interesting. But the movie is way too long. There's way too many like super over the top party sequences. Every time it happens, you're just like, oh my God, move on. We get it. And especially the climax of the movie is like basically them trying to go as far as they can with like human depravity. And it's just like,
and not get an NC-17.
Yeah, and then the craziest part of the movie is there's a weird like meta commentary on the movie Singin' in the Rain, specifically the movie Singin' in the Rain. And if you haven't watched that movie, you probably won't really understand what he's going for because it's a movie within a movie, and that movie is Singin' in the Rain. And it's just like, what the hell?
Yeah, I hear overall, the ending has like it goes like full Singin' in the Rain for some reason too, and like people are
it's a lot. And I wouldn't even consider that a spoiler because it's too confusing to like wrap your head around to just walk in and be like, yes, now I understand the twist. But yeah,
yeah, I'm just disappointed. I wanted to like go to the theater. Like I love going to the theater over the holidays and there is nothing to see. I'm not going to go see Avatar. I refuse. And I was hoping Babylon would be that movie. And then, you know, it would have been nice. I would have just paid to go see Glass Onion.
Oh, I saw.
I would have done that, but it was gone by that point.
Yeah. My Christmas movie in the theater was Puss in Boots.
It's so good.
I didn't even know there was a new Puss in Boots.
I went to go see it with my 5-year-old. and as I'm sitting there watching the movie in my head, I'm like, this is really good. And by the end, I'm like, that was great. Like, this was great. And then I looked it up after and it's got like a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. And everybody's like, it's the best kids movie made in years. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not crazy that like, yeah. that the movie was like, it very shamelessly cribs from Spider-Man, Spider-Verse's Spider-Verse. Art style, art style and animation style. All the action scenes look just like that. And it totally works. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's great.
The action. You're right. They animate on the twos. And so they make it like super, super stylized and it looks amazing. I think it's the best looking animated movie I've seen since Spider-Verse at least.
Yep.
And it's like very like heartwarming and maybe a little cheesy, but like screw it, it's a kids movie, it's fun. My only criticism is like it's been like 10 years since they made the last Shrek universe movie, which was the first Puss in Boots, and so it feels like they had like 10 years worth of ideas that they crammed into one movie, but like it still works, it's still really good.
Yeah, Damon, I when it comes to home video, you and the fam are gonna you'll really like it.
I'll watch that. And Paddington are like the top kids movies ever these days, huh?
Paddington's
very good. My favorite is Moana. We're a Moana household over here.
It's very good. I do have one quick movie thing before we move on.
Yeah.
So I watched The Fablemans, which is Spielberg's new movie, and it's quite good. It's probably his best movie in a long time. And it ends right before his film career actually sort of starts because it's a semi-autobiographical movie. And I decided to watch through his filmography as far as I can. I know I'll probably give up because there's so many movies in there. But I've gotten through the first like five.
Well, there's some weird ones to start, right?
Oh, there's a couple of made for TV things. The first one's this episode of a show, and the episode is called LA 2017. And it's a dystopian.
You're really
like,
doing
thing.
The whole.
Oh,
the
yeah. Whole. I'm really going for it. I found it on YouTube. And I watched 3 minutes from a student film he made when he was 17. And I watched Duel, which rips.
Yes.
I remember that as a kid.
Yeah, okay. It was a made-for-TV movie about a guy who gets road rage with a trucker, and then the trucker tries to kill him for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's very good. And then I watched his first movie, Sugarland Express, fun, not his best, but it was fun. Then Jaws, which I had never seen front to back. And that movie is still actually like really, really good. And
I love it. I can watch that movie infinitely. It's a perfect watch. It's just so fun to sit down and watch. There's like lore in it and like all kinds of like cool backstories. And
the first half and second half, very different types of movies. It's so good. Yeah. And then the last one I watched was First Encounters of the Third Kind, which I had also never seen. And that movie is so good.
It's a little like, slow now.
It's a little long and a little slow, but like especially once he starts going like full crazy and is like doing like mud sculptures and crap in his living room, it's like, oh, this movie is incredible. And it came out the same year as Star Wars, I think.
That's what Lucas thought. Lucas thought it would blow Star Wars away.
So, I'm really loving this so far. The next movie is 1941, which is apparently a really bad comedy with John Belushi.
I've never seen that.
Is John Belushi? John Belushi is the one, the more beloved one, right? Jim is his brother, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's with John Belushi, I believe. So I got to go through a bad one, and then it's Indiana Jones. So.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
That's a really great project. I might copy you on that. I love it.
Trade notes.
I actually watched a really good movie last night, and that was The Menu, which I highly recommend. It's on HBO Max.
Fun one.
Nice.
Okay. Wait, have you seen that?
Cannibalism?
Well, I don't want to say much. But I will say it's a satire, a black comedy satire of the fine dining industry that skewers everyone involved from the kitchen to the dining room. It's great.
Okay.
The reason I've seen so many, basically every movie that we're talking about, this is going to sound like an advertisement for a second, but if you have an AMC in your hometown, or like LA, most movie theaters are AMCs, they have A-List, which is basically a movie pass when it was good. And I think it's like $25 a month, and you can watch up to 3 movies a week. And so I've been seeing like 2 movies a week for the past like 2 months. I'm really getting some mileage out of that thing, and I love it. So even movies that I like maybe wouldn't have seen, like The Menu, I decided to see. And you know what? It's really great. I loved it. So, you know, and it's like, oh, I don't really want to see a kid's movie, but it's like, oh, screw it. My friends are going to go see Puss in Boots. I'm going to go see it with them. So
yeah, that's great.
Yeah. It's a
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Good deal.
Okay, that's enough movie scoop.
20 questions time.
I know, that's all. And that brings us to 20 questions. 2023 preview. Here's all the big games that we're looking forward to. And let's start with some events. This month, January 18th, Google Stadia will shut down.
Oh. No.
Hasn't happened quite yet. So you still got a few more days to get to your
Are there any exclusives we all need to play before that happens?
There are some exclusives on there. I don't know. I mean, I haven't played them because I don't mess around with Stadia. But
Where will they go from here?
I don't know. Maybe someone will pick them up. I don't know. I don't know what they're.
I hope that guy with the Destiny 2 save got his stuff sorted out. Did you hear about that guy?
No.
There was a guy that had like just hundreds and hundreds of hours of Destiny 2 on Stadia, and then they like because of some technical limitation, like they weren't going to be able to transfer his save to another platform. He was just going to lose all his stuff.
Oh.
And so I don't know. The story is open ended because I don't know what the resolution of that was.
He's like the Stadia player for Destiny, basically.
Okay. Yeah. Next month, February 17th. I guess this is a little more. Relevant to myself, but Super Nintendo World will open here at Universal Studios, California.
Heck yeah, that's one of the most important launches of the year. Yeah,
I assumed it was like a year away. I didn't know it was coming so soon.
Very soon.
I'm going to take my 3-year-old. He's like gotten into Mario. He loves watching just gameplay of like 3D World and Mario Kart. And also, we played a lot of Mario Kart over the holiday break. And I know that's no secret how great that game is and how everyone loves it. I think it's more than that. I think it's one of the greatest pieces of entertainment ever made by humans. Because my 3-year-old, who's never played a game with a controller before, when you turn on aim assist, he can just play the game. He can play the whole game. He wins matches and he loves it. It's great.
Yep.
It's
crazy.
Amazing.
Did you play any of the new maps?
No, I hadn't subscribed to it. I didn't think that was going to be for me. But now he's so into it. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just get all the DLC.
Make sure you play the Berlin one from Mario Kart Tour. Because it's good. But also, a thwomp comes out of the Berlin Wall.
Yeah, and so, it knocks down a thwomp knocks down the Berlin Wall.
Yeah.
We played Mario Kart as a family. And whenever we play as a family, I just body my children. It's like absolutely no mercy. They got to know. They got to know who's still the boss. Yeah. They have to learn.
I am looking forward to Super Nintendo World opening. And then in March, another Nintendo event. Nintendo's going to shut down the eShop servers for Wii U and 3DS.
They're already semi-shut down. Like, they've been doing it in stages. I think you couldn't add a credit card as of last year. Mm. And then it's shut down for good. But I think that the scramble to like, oh no, I want to buy, I don't know, Pocket Chalk here. Like whatever, like 3DS eShop exclusive. I think it's actually already too late. You can only use... Maybe you can't add a credit card to PayPal or anything, but you can only use like prepaid cards, like Nintendo eShop credit cards or something like that.
Everything that didn't completely rely on two screens, which are a lot of things for Wii U and for 3DS, could have been easily handled to a port to Switch, but that just didn't happen.
There's a big list. Like, I used a message board list on like eShop games that are trapped on the eShop than everyone anywhere else. I think Kat Bailey made another similar list on IGN, if I'm remembering correctly.
Jared made one a while ago. Remember that?
Yeah, there's lists floating around out there if you're worried about games that are just going to be gone forever when the eShop shuts down. Mm. And it's the same as always. Like, yeah, Sam, you're right. Like, a good portion of them have been ported over, but then a good portion have not. So,
and then aren't there the retro lists on those too? Not just Nintendo's home games, but there's like, arcade games and stuff that have been reported by other people. It's just like some of those, like, why aren't those just regularly? I don't know. It just seems crazy that they don't just collide the shops and remove a bunch of stuff. Instead, they close the shop entirely and rely on porting stuff over. It's just crazy.
Yeah, they got to sell them to you again.
They do have to sell them to you again.
Has any Nintendo DS game been ported over to a modern platform, or is that like a puzzle that hasn't been solved yet?
Well, Wii U games have.
Yeah, Wii U games. But I'm talking about DS because of the dual screens.
So the Wii U have two screens, buddy. Come on.
The Wii U, you could play DS games on the Wii U.
Right. But I'm thinking
you can.
But like a non two screen console is what you're talking about.
Yeah, like on Switch, they could make it into a vertical game or something like that, or make a screen within a screen. Or just nobody's like, ever put that effort
in. The really crazy one is 3DS for games that actually like 3D World uses or 3D Land uses the 3D effect, right? Mm-hmm. DS games, like they can do side by side screens or whatever, like that's solvable. But like the 3DSs and like the Wii with motion controls, like those are both trickier. Mm.
Let's get Digital Eclipse on this. They need to come up with some sort of a Nintendo DS collection package today. I trust them.
Do you remember when we, I mean, anybody here can look up the video of this, but we used to have a kit that allowed us to capture DS and it just put them both on top and bottom in a little frame on the screen.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's not out of the question either. Like maybe it's not the best emulation experience, but like, you know, it's not terrible. Yeah, it works.
There are DS emulators.
I know there's that too. Yeah.
There's the touch, right? There's the touch.
Yeah. Stuff, which is,
right.
And then in June, E3 returns. We'll see how that goes.
I'm excited.
I hope, I hope it goes well. We'll see. There's only one hardware release plan for this year. That's PSVR 2 in February. Do you think there'll be any other hardware releases this year? You know that the Intellivision Amico is still taking pre-orders.
Wow. And the Atari came out.
The Atari's out, yeah.
I mean, I'm still holding out hope for a N64 classic, a Game Boy classic from Nintendo. It's just so weird that the NES and SNES classics were such smash hits. You know, I don't know. I guess they don't want to distract from Nintendo Switch Online and those classic game subscriptions, but feels like a missed opportunity to me.
Well, speaking of retro playing hardware, there's a few other things out there that can come down. But one is that analog stuff, including the Pocket, and then of course just the NT and the Super NT, which are I have hooked up. I use them a lot. I love those systems. They're always out of print. So it's like, what's going to happen with analogs hardware? Like, is there like a combined thing they're doing finally, or who knows? But like, I'm very curious about that. Or competitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's I know people. We've been talking about this forever, but I think there is a chance that Nintendo releases new hardware next year. I don't think it's super high, but
yeah, it could be at the end of the year, right? So they could announce it, do an E3 thing.
The reason
build
I say
up,
that,
and then have it up.
Yeah, the reason I say it is because going into 2022, we basically knew like the full year of games coming from Nintendo. Going into 2023, we know like a few games in the first half of the year. And so I think that they probably have a lot of games they're working on that they haven't announced. And either they're just going to, you know, have like a big blowout of games that are going to be for the Switch, or they're waiting because they want to announce a bunch of games for the next thing. I think the former is more likely, but, I mean, I'm ready for new hardware, so I'm
can you believe the queue of what Nintendo has lined up for like things that could come out? We know about a Metroid game, and then Mario. I mean, like Metroid and Mario, it's crazy. And we are still waiting on the Zelda game that we know a lot about. So like, if that's what's coming up next, we're about to enter that cycle that the beginning of the Switch was. We were like, how could there be this many great Nintendo games to play at once? I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
Well, speaking of, this month, we're getting Fire Emblem Engage. I know people loved Three Houses. I don't sense a lot of hype for Engage.
Yeah, I feel the same. Like Three Houses was, I think, overwhelmingly the most popular, most successful Fire Emblem game. Like it seemed to break through into the mainstream in a very major way. And like a sequel, like a new Fire Emblem is like coming out right now. And I don't really feel like it has a lot of hype or buzz. I think Nintendo has kind of slightly mishandled it. Like they're not really promoting it that much. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see. But like, you know, maybe it'll come out, get great reviews and blow the doors off everybody again. But like in the lead up, it doesn't feel like it's hitting quite the same way.
Yeah, I agree. Our preview, which was done by Kalani, who works for IGN, it was very positive. And he really, 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 really loves Fire Emblem. So I sort of trust him on that. And I love Fire Emblem going like way back. And I'm excited for it because it feels like it sort of goes a little bit away from the sort of like school life outside of combat focus. Yeah. And so if it really does sort of go in that direction more, I'm very excited for it. But I agree, there's really just not much hype for it.
Yeah, I think they've, since Awakening, I think they've kind of gotten bloated. And even though I like the Three Houses and everything, like those games, like I don't need everything else. And I kind of want to play like if I'm going to get an annualized Fire Emblem game, like it needs to be tight. And I feel like they've gotten away from that a lot. But people really like that. So I know it's not going to change. I mean, this one might change. But like, I know people love conversations and tea parties and stuff like that. So like, I'm glad people are getting the game they want. But I think there's room for another series, maybe Advance Wars, to step in and do a game like this that is just kind of like, okay, I played for 25 hours and I loved it.
Yeah, I agree. That would be a good split. Let Fire Emblem do that thing and then let Advance Wars sort of be the actual more serious sort of strategy game.
It's, well, unfortunately, Fire Emblem killed Advance Wars. The success of Fire Emblem.
Apparently, literally, like it's insane that they just took the Advance Wars off their release schedule, have said nothing about it. We have no idea when that game is coming. It's crazy.
Their initial reasoning was the Ukraine war.
Sure.
But it's very like one of the fictional nations in the Advance Wars games is just very blatantly Russia. It's just Russia. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know, I get it. You know, but it is pretty fictionalized. Like, I don't know. The game could come out, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The original Advance Wars came out on 9/11, so you know, the series is a little
Did it actually?
Yeah.
Like the date?
Yep.
Oh man.
Like Zoolander.
Exactly like Zoolander.
Wow. Also this month, Forspoken, finally coming out. Also, not a lot of hype for that one. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I'm open to it. We'll see. Mm-hmm. And then the big one I am looking forward to this month is Dead Space, which I'm particularly interested in seeing how it turns out, because Callisto was kind of just okay to me. Mm-hmm. And I played through all of Callisto.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about Dead Space. I mean, like EA remaking a game, they've been so public about every single move they've made with it, and it all looks great. Like, I think it'll just come together to be, you know, a solid 8 or above.
You know, it's got the bones from the original. It's got, I assume, a much bigger budget and probably a huge team. So I think it just has a lot of things working in its favor. So hopefully it's really good. I'm excited.
I'll have to beat Elden Ring before then.
Oof, you're not going to do it before by January, whatever, 27th.
You're going to help me.
Yeah, I will help you. Also, Disgaea 7 is coming this month. I don't know. I skipped Disgaea 6 because they completely changed the art style. Yeah.
You're the only person they make the game for.
I know, but they changed the art style. It wasn't pixel art anymore. They went 3D and it looked kind of ugly. So I was like, meh. I love Disgaea 1 through 5. They're all kind of perfect. Like 5 is kind of like, I don't know how it could get any better, so I'll just keep playing. Also,
the Disgaea 5, the franchise is a little bit of a victim. It's got like Smash Brothers syndrome, where each one is like the previous game, but more and better. And it's like they can't. But they can't. Like even from like a feature standpoint, like you know, I don't know. They reached their limit.
I think so too. Yeah,
that's what annualized series need to be like. Well, they need to be, like Madden's another example of this, but they need to be like Castlevania, where it's just like, just give me the Castlevania every year. The twist can be a part of the gameplay. It can be whatever, but like as long as there's save spots and lots of mummies, then like I'm okay. You know, like just give it to me every year. No 3D though. I'm with you there.
Yeah. Okay. In February, we get Hogwarts Legacy, which has been a long time coming. I know a lot of people are excited. I'm not really a Harry Potter guy, but I do have a question. Does anyone consider themselves a fan of like the books of Harry Potter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's called Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah.
There's no apostrophe in Hogwarts. So it's not like possessive of the legacy. What I don't understand. I don't know how to read it. What is it? Why isn't there an apostrophe?
Like Hogwarts's legacy?
Exactly. Because just I know the school is called Hogwarts, but just calling it Hogwarts Legacy is like it's like Berkeley Legacy, right?
Why isn't it like supposed to be like Final Fantasy? Like
why isn't like the legacy of Hogwarts? I don't know.
Yeah, I suppose that's fair.
I get tripped up in my head when I see the title.
It's funny, they really want to try to move away from saying the words Harry Potter, and they've been doing it for a long time. Like
exactly.
Regardless of recent like events and stuff. But like even with like the Fantastic Beasts movies, they always called it the Wizarding World.
Yeah.
They tried so hard to make Wizarding World stick and and it didn't stick. And so they're just like from a franchise corporate development standpoint, like the series being called Harry Potter is such an F up. It is what it is, but like when they're trying to like make, you know, a transmedia like games and TV shows and movies, like tying it to this one boy, it's like, I'm sure that they wish that they could rethink that.
Yeah. Also in February is Atomic Heart, which could be a sleeper hit. It's the first game from a new studio, and it has really big BioShock vibes.
Looks cool. Kind of a game that our staff has kind of championed since we first saw like a trailer and tried to get a bunch of like information out about it and kind of show people that this game exists. It has a good look, you know? Yeah. Like, it doesn't mean it's going to be the best game to play, though. So that remains to be seen.
Yeah. There was a little new trailer for it released yesterday.
Oh, really?
To go along with like NVIDIA's new hardware. Mm-hmm. And it's gorgeous. Like,
yeah, that's good.
Obviously, like, I'm not going to be able to play the game like that because I don't have a $5,000 PC. But it's very, very good looking.
Mm-hmm. The next Like a Dragon game comes out in February. Like a Dragon Ishin.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's a remake. A remake of an older one.
Ah, interesting.
Justin, are you going to do this one?
No, probably not. Okay. I binged on him so much. Like, I don't, like, look, I love, it's one of my favorite video game franchises of all time. But the games, it's in terms of, you want to talk about annualizing sequels, like, mm-hmm. it's a mistake to play them all back to back to back because of how similar they are. Like, mm-hmm. what someone should do is play one of those games a year, and then it's perfect, and I would do that for the rest of my life. But, like, you know, but I overdosed on it a little bit, and so, you know, I'll probably let a few games build up and then go binge them again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. nice. The only problem with that method is they release one every, like, year or two, so you can't ever catch up.
Well, they did, but they're out of, the reason the release schedule was so packed was because they were localizing ones that never came out in English, and they were kind of playing catch-up mm-hmm. for English-speaking, you know, U.S.-based gamers, and now they're done. Now we are caught up. So the release schedule is going to kind of cool off starting now-ish.
Got it. There's another Nintendo Switch release in February, Kirby's Return to Dream Land Deluxe.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's a Kirby game.
It'll be another Kirby game. It's a remake of an older game. Sam, do you know?
On the Wii, I think.
Return to Dream Land was a Wii game?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, March. March, we're going to get Skull and Bones. Finally. Mm-hmm. It's been really quiet for Ubisoft. They had no big fall game this year. And then, well, it was supposed to be Skull and Bones in November, I guess.
And it was supposed to be Avatar.
Yeah, Avatar got delayed. They missed the
potentially we have an Avatar game in 2023.
Movie release. Also, it's Ubisoft's first $70 game, Skull and Bones. Mm.
So I don't understand. How many employees does Ubisoft have? I'm Googling.
12,000?
Yeah, thousands. Google says 21,000 employees, which I don't know if that's accurate, but that's just the number that popped up here. How do you have 21,000 employees and you did not release the game? Like, how does like business work?
I know.
Yeah. How are they still like, I know they had games coming out in the past. I know they have games coming out this year, but like literally how can you just do that? Just not release a game?
I know. Pretty crazy.
Seems dangerous. Yeah.
Well, Skull and Bones has an uphill battle to fight when that's out. Wolong Fallen Dynasty is out. It's another Souls-like game, I think from the Neo team, I want to say.
If I'm team not Ninja,
Okay, Team Ninja. Could be cool. I like the setting. Then Bayonetta Origins coming. That was a surprise Game Awards announcement. A Bayonetta side story with kind of some kind of a storybook presentation. I don't know. I'm sure that's for someone.
I still need to play Bayonetta 3, so.
Yeah. March is a big month. Star Wars Jedi Survivor is out that month, as well as Resident Evil 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jedi Survivor. I mean, not to take anything away from RE4 Remake, which looks ridiculous. I guess I don't need to put them against each other. I just like Jedi Survivor. That was rumored, and we all kind of knew it was happening, but we hadn't seen it. And then they finally did lift the lid on it. It looks like it's delivering on exactly what everybody wanted. Yeah. What a success story for that team and that developer, and just a Star Wars game that's not been marred by like the EA Star Wars relationship has been kind of weird with like games canceled, and I don't know. It's just great. Yeah. Like, I'm just glad that it exists.
The only real negative on the first one was that it came out kind of buggy, but they fixed it. Like, it didn't take them too long. And so this one, I have to assume that it's going to come out pretty fresh out of the oven, and it looks awesome. So I'm excited.
I wouldn't even call that game buggy. I had zero issues with it. I mean, I'm aware of what you're talking about, but like, I just think they're going to, it'll be great. If it's not bloated, because it could also get to that point where it's like Metroid Prime 3, where you're like, okay, I don't know if I want to play this much filler, but we'll see. It doesn't look like that so far. And then I know Resident Evil 4 is a great game, and I know that Resident Evil's remakes make those games even better. And I just can't imagine the quality of that mashup of Resident Evil 4 plus their remake team. I'm just so excited for that game.
Yeah, I am too.
I don't know how Capcom, those wizards at Capcom, like those Resident Evil remakes are among the best, most impressive looking games visually ever in the history of video games. And it's like, why? What are they doing over there that like other people can't seem to get their arms around?
That RE engine is nuts. And like they made like a Monster Hunter Rise on that engine too. And it's like you could not have two more different games. So it's like it's incredible that they made this thing. This is going to sound silly, but one of the reasons why I'm really excited for Resident Evil 4 Remake, I played the original probably a dozen times. It's in my top 10 games. And obviously I'm just excited to play it, but I can't really recommend it wholesale to anybody because like the control scheme is like really hard to get into and it's aged in certain ways. Yeah. And I think that holds a lot of people back and they'll start playing it. I started that game like 3 or 4 times before it clicked for me. But now I won't have that problem. Now it's going to play like Resident Evil 2 and 3, which 100% play incredibly well.
So, and you know what? They already made a Resident Evil that plays like 2 and 3 in the Wii version of Resident Evil 4 and it was perfect. It was just like, it was such a good point and shoot Wii game. And like, you know, just getting those controls, the two analog sticks will be perfect. I couldn't be more excited.
Okay. April will be a chance for us to catch our breath and catch up on games we haven't finished yet for the year. Cause the only big game planned for April right now is Dead Island 2. Something I probably won't play. That's actually why I think Microsoft should try to squeeze in Starfield or Redfall. In April.
I bet it'd be Redfall.
Yep.
That's the vibe.
I mean, that was the one that was supposed to be out first anyway. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
All the other months are all stacked because May is Zelda and Suicide Squad.
You know, supposedly, like, I think Zelda has fall 2023 written all over it. But
Wow. Is that widely believed?
No, I mean not because I think the game is troubled or anything like that, but I don't know. It's just because that's what always happens with Zelda games. That's all.
There was a potential leak of a Tears of the Kingdom Switch OLED model, which I don't know if that was disproven or not. But if it is
I think that one's fake. But
But if it was real, you know, that would, you know, sort of indicate that it's pretty far along and intended to sort of be released at that point. I think that they'll hit it just because they moved it pretty far ahead last time they delayed it. But, you know, they also moved Cyberpunk super far ahead in the past, too, and that ended up releasing as a mess. So, who knows?
Tears of the Kingdom is going to be so good. How could it not? Like, Breath of the Wild is so good. Like, Breath of the Wild is one of the greatest video games ever made, and it had to completely reinvent from the ground up what it means to be a Zelda game. And then the sequel just gets to build on that. So will it have the same sort of, like, I chopped down a log and then it floated down the river? Like, no, that element of it is not going to be as, like, shocking and amazing and incredible. But, like, I think it's just going to be, like, a bigger, better video game because that team has had years and years and years to just iterate and refine and improve.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
They didn't fast track it like they did Majora's Mask.
No.
I just hope it has the same sense of exploration. That's all I really want.
I think what you can say about that team and what they are really good at is no matter what you give, the foundation of Mario and Zelda is both just hiding a bunch of things and like making sure there's layers upon layers of hidden stuff. And that the sense of wonder and exploration can come from a surprise like, oh, I can't believe this thing. Like just what Justin was saying, like the physics surprises were really cool in Breath of the Wild. Like it was shocking when you're like, I wonder if it would work to light this on fire or use this, you know, use my sword as a magnet or something. And it always did, you know, like that was like fascinating. And so I think they'll be able to get more intricate with that and then also just hide a bunch of stuff and just make layers and layers of like cool things to discover for a long time. I think that's great.
Yeah. For the past 6 years, people have been, you know, comparing things to Breath of the Wild. And I think what people really mean when they are talking about comparisons to Breath of the Wild, more so than anything else, is that sense of discovery in an open world, which is so hard to do. But every once in a while, you get some stuff that really nails it. Like Elden Ring, I think it has a very good sense of discovery, and that is the way
you discover getting your ass kicked over.
Exactly. But I think that's the way that it's similar to Breath of the Wild. And like Arceus was kind of like that, but Scarlet and Violet were not. So,
and I think people are a little soft on Suicide Squad.
It's taken them forever.
I mean we still just haven't.
They're just not making Batman games. I don't know why. Why aren't we not making?
Like people just want more Batman games, but they're doing these other things instead.
Yeah,
Exactly. I mean, it is Rocksteady, you know, proven themselves to be one of the best AAA developers in the business. You know, I don't know that people are, I haven't seen this game being played. I just want to see it being played for 10 minutes. And I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. like I'm on board. Like they're still playing it a little bit close to the vest.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. June is going to be huge. Street Fighter VI, Diablo IV, Final Fantasy XVI, all coming mm-hmm. alongside E3.
Final Fantasy XVI is supposed mm-hmm. to come out in June. Like what?
That's nuts. At least it'll be after E3. I won't have to like, you know, do a Sophie's Choice of do my job
yeah.
or play Final Fantasy XVI or sleep. I guess I'll have to do my job. So it's sleep or Final Fantasy XVI in that scenario.
I mean, so many people are going to be in the middle of Breath of the Wild. They're going to have it at E3. Then their Diablo mm-hmm. is going to be like distracting people like crazy. And then a Final Fantasy is out of top. It's just like, everybody's going to have something to play those months. It's really amazing. But and Street Fighter also. I mean, it's incredible.
And those are the games that have release dates. We're still supposed to get, like I said, Starfield, Redfall, and Stalker 2. Supposedly,
let me just say, for the if first all half of those year. Games come out in the first half of the year, and especially those summer games, well, and also we know that Starfield's release date will be ahead of the second quarter, or the second half, because they just said it'll be the first half of the year. So if you're getting all of those and we actually get them over the summer, that will reset everybody's idea of like, can summer work as a release season instead of fall? Like if we got all of our AAAs over the summer and people played those all summer and they sold like crazy, that would be an industry changing event.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Potentially.
If all these games come out, it's going to be an incredible year. Mm-hmm. In the back half of the year, nothing with the release date yet, but there's still a lot of games. I'm going to run down this list because we're running long on time. If anyone has anything to say, feel free to jump in. But still expected later on this year are Alan Wake 2, Aliens Dark Descent, that somewhat confusing sort of top-down squad-based yeah. alien shooter, Armored Core 6 from Software, Exo Primal, the Capcom robot or robot dinosaur game, or maybe they're not robots.
The one that tricked people about
Dino Crisis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not Dino Crisis, mm-hmm. Exo Primal. Mm-hmm. Next gen version of Fallout 4 coming this year, PS5 and Xbox Series X version. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which will probably be in December, probably be late year. Sam, Flashback 2, which we've only seen that bad trailer that had the title. We haven't seen what the gameplay yeah. looks like.
Yeah.
Justin, Gloomhaven is coming to consoles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played it on Steam. It's great.
Do you feel confident it'll work well on console? Is it not too complicated?
It's not too nuts. It should be fine. Mm-hmm. You got four shoulder buttons to play with.
Hollow Knight Silksong. I know people are very excited mm-hmm. for that. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of the there's Killer Clowns from Outer Space and Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Mm-hmm. Every notable 80s movie must get an asymmetrical multiplayer game. Sam, did you know there's a kickstarted sequel to the NES game Little Nemo?
Hmm.
It's yeah, called Little Nemo and the Guardians of Slumberland.
Yeah, either we showed it or it was part of an indie presentation. I talked about it on the show, but it's just the Little Nemo license. It doesn't look anything like the NES game or even based on whatever 80s iteration of Little Nemo that game was based on. But I just played Little Nemo the Dream Master the other day and I got back to the same level, which I can never beat, which is the one after the dumb train, because the train sucks.
Cool. There's the Lollipop Chainsaw remake. There's Spider-Man 2, which is the mm-hmm. only announced PS5 first party exclusive for this year, not counting PSVR 2.
Yeah. That's wild. But that's definitely going to be their holiday game, right? Like,
yeah, I think so. But I would think there'd be more than just Spider-Man 2 in mm-hmm. the whole year. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I hope Metal Slug Tactics finally makes it out. That's a Damien-ass looking game. Pikmin 4 mm-hmm. from Nintendo. Pragmata, another Capcom joint. It takes place on the moon. I don't think people know much about it. Mm-hmm. Puzzle Bobble Every Bubble.
Cool.
From Taito.
This is a new Puzzle Bobble?
Yep.
You're burying the lead.
Every bubble. Mm-hmm. Star Wars Hunters, a Switch mm-hmm. exclusive from Zynga. That's a Star Wars Battle Royale game that got delayed.
Yeah, that's been in production for a long time.
And Justin, I guess I forgot. They announced Suikoden 1 and 2 remaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although I just replayed one, no, the non-remaster version, so I don't need it. But, you know, a couple of the greatest classic RPGs ever, particularly two. Their big claim to fame, if you don't know, is that there's you are sort of forming this army and forming this crew of people, and there's 108 playable characters in the game. So as you recruit somebody, that's like you have this big tower, and like I'm an elevator inventor. Let me put an elevator in your tower. You're like, okay. But you can also have him as a party member and go out and battle with him. So every single person in the game, the cook, the innkeeper, whoever, it's great. They all have their own little sprites. Some of the best sprite work. Maybe not ever of
I'll be right
all
back.
Time, but
I have to sign for something. Great. I'll be right back.
Okay. Should we keep going?
I guess it'll just be a cut, right?
Now, if I know Damon,
not now.
If I know Damon, he's going to leave it all in.
Let's say some terrible things that we can't take back.
I hope Skate comes out this year.
Say a bunch of swears and he has to cut it all out.
Could Skate come out this year? That was just a joke, but like, I think it could.
I mean, yeah.
That was one of those things where they announced it like before they even started production, you know?
Yeah.
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 But maybe they're faster than Retro Studios.
Maybe. Maybe.
They don't have Iwata to cover. Or no, who was it? Because this was a long time ago, so it might have been Iwata that mentioned this. No, I think it was after Iwata. But it was like somebody at Nintendo was like, we're restarting Metroid Prime 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember that? They like they did a little speech about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they started
it. Was 87 years ago, actually, which is crazy.
Okay. It looks like a very exciting year ahead, a very exciting year to be hosting a video game podcast. And that brings us to video game 20 questions.
There's a couple more. It's going to be very, very fast.
Okay.
But there's The Wolf Among Us 2.
Uh-huh.
There's Oxenfree 2. Remember that game?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking up 2023 games, and I was like, yo, I loved Oxenfree, and I was so pumped for the sequel, but then it went dark for so long that it just, you know, it just fell off my radar. And then the last one that I specifically wanted to highlight was Minecraft Legends, which is, it looks like kind of a Minecraft RTS game, like a strategy game set in the Minecraft universe. And so those three are on, you know, Justin's list of 2023 most anticipated.
Cool. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Okay, while you were gone, Damon, I mentioned Skate, and then I was wondering
if... Oh, yeah, Skate 4, whatever?
It's just, yeah.
It's just Skate now?
Now it's like lowercase Skate.
Okay.
I have no idea if that's a this year game, though. But then there's like, there's the two superhero games, which I just want to hear about this year, Wolverine and Wonder Woman, and then a bonus superhero one, which is the Amy Hennig, Captain America,
Black Panther
yeah. one. And then also her Star Wars game. Those are all games that I'm excited for. And I don't think any of those are going to actually make a 2023 appearance beyond.
Yeah. If we're talking about games, we just want to learn more about this year. I want to learn more about Ubisoft's Star Wars game.
Oh yeah.
And
the Indiana Jones game.
Well, yeah. Who's doing the Indiana Jones one? That's Bethesda, right?
Bethesda.
Or Machine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Machine Games.
Yeah.
Via Bethesda, it's, I guess, owned by Microsoft now.
I'm also convinced that The Last of Us multiplayer game is going to come out this year.
They've
been working on it forever. They made a post about it this morning because this is the 10-year... this year is the 10-year anniversary of The Last of Us. And the show is going to premiere in a couple weeks. And I'm going to do like a watch party with a bunch of friends who aren't gamer friends. And they've all heard about it. And they're all excited to watch this movie. So that's going to be huge. I can feel it in my bones. And I
mean, that and Avatar and Mario are all three things that are missing a game launch alongside of them. It's like completely crazy. And I know they were all set to be marketed that way. And then they weren't. And it's just like, that's obviously pandemic stuff, but also just kind of game delay. It's just a weird time we're in.
Yeah.
Okay. And that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. First edition of the new year. Our suggestion this week comes from Greg, who says, Happy New Year. Here's to another year of scoops and goofs. Yep, scooping and goofing. That's what we do around here. As you may recall, I had challenged the panel in 2022 to ask less than 1,000 questions across all the Video Game 20 Questions segments throughout the year. I would like to send in the final results on this. The GameScoop Gaiden 20 Questions 2.0 final episode of the year made the final count interesting. Leading up to that episode, you were at a total of 974 questions.
Ooh.
Throughout the year. So you did come in under 1,000. After that special experiment episode, you ended up at 1,074. But I don't think we should count it. I think you guys did it.
I see. So more questions bad. We're not trying to hit 1,000. We're trying to not break 1,000.
Yeah. Right. That was it.
Good thing we have two options.
Yeah. Greg says, if you allow me, I'd also like to submit a game. I think it would be a fun game for the panel to guess, with it coming from Redacted. And with that, let the questioning begin.
Wait, what just happened?
What's the redacted word? Tell me the redacted word.
We can talk about that afterwards.
Sorry. So he pitched a game that we're going to ask 20 questions about, or are we playing a different game?
No, we play just regular ask 20 questions.
Okay.
Was this game released this century?
No.
Was this game released in the 90s?
Yes.
Is it 2D?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Was this game a console exclusive?
No.
Okay.
Is it based on a license?
No. That's 5.
Is it a platformer?
It's in that family.
Do you play as a human?
Yes.
Could be Prince of Persia.
Mm-hmm.
Or Flashback.
Prince of Persia, the original's from the 90s?
Probably from 88 or something.
Yeah. You're playing as a human in a platformer is not actually all that common. It could be Aladdin, but it's not based off a license. Was this originally released on a 16-bit console or multiple consoles?
No.
Ooh.
Should we just assume it's 8-bit then, or... Well, I guess technically it could have been like on PlayStation or something.
Yeah.
It's been a 2D game.
Except Symphony of the Night, you do not play as a human. You play as a vampire. Spoilers.
Because
you're Alucard.
Wait, did this come out on the NES?
No.
Shoot. Okay. So it's a 2D platformer from the 90s that's not on the NES. Wait, was the answer 16-bit? No.
Not on 16-bit,
not on NES, and that's
all. But it was on multiple platforms.
Yeah. So it could be, I know it's not Rayman, because Rayman's not a human, but something like Rayman on the PS1 or N64, or handhelds.
Mm-hmm. But that's 3D, right?
No, not the old ones.
Really?
Yeah, Rayman 1 and 2, or whatever, the first couple were 2D.
Okay. Well,
same with Gex, the Gecko.
Was this game on the PlayStation?
Yes. That's 10.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Alucard's half human.
It's true. His mom's a human? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely not a human in Klonoa.
He might be a human.
Colin, you should watch Castlevania on Netflix. It'll explain the whole thing.
It's so good.
You know, I actually did watch the first season, but I should go back and watch the rest.
So it was on the PS, the PlayStation, but not exclusively on the PlayStation.
No,
it's not like a direct platformer. But Damon's like, yeah, it's in the platforming family.
Could it be one of the late Mega Mans?
Huh? I don't know.
Was Mega Man X on PlayStation?
No, it was like 7 and 8.
Yep. With the sort of, it's not literally cell shaded, but like the sort of cartoony art style.
But Mega Man is a robot, and Damon would definitely know that.
He's a robot boy.
He's a Mega Man.
Yeah, that's true. That's
you're right. It can't be that because of the human condition. Do you shoot stuff in this game?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Okay, maybe it's a Contra-like.
Were there any Contras on the PlayStation, or was it kind of...
Yes, but I don't know what they are.
Man, see, it's funny. There's really not that many 2D games on the PlayStation, you know, just compared
to especially like
3D.
Run and Guns, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
could it be top down?
We know it's a platformer in the general platformer family. So it's like, I was thinking about like scrolling shooters and stuff like that, but I don't think it is.
It's just a Metal Slug. It probably is Metal Slug.
I see Same. Who, a furry boy.
Who made Metal Slug?
Neo Geo. I don't know.
Okay, cool. Because I'm trying to.
It was always published by Neo Geo, but it was on everything. It was on the arcade. Did this series have? We could ask about arcades.
Sure.
Was this game available in the arcade?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
As part of the Neo Geo platform?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Metal Slug.
It's probably
which Metal. One? We only have 20 to choose from.
Is this the first of its name, or was that the first one come out before PlayStation?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I've played them all, but I don't know my Metal Slug history.
You can ask the first of its name thing. It could still be 1940X.
Is this the first of its name?
Yes.
Okay. So it's almost definitely Metal Slug. How many questions do we have left?
5 questions and a guess.
I see. The interesting thing about
it's pretty janky on the PlayStation 1. It's kind of funny to think about
with the loading and stuff.
The Metal Slug games, all of them, like the sprite art is so rich and so like detailed, and the animations are so complex that, like, in my head, they're kind of like unmoored from time. Like, I have no idea when those games were made or when they came out.
Yeah. That's kind of the beautiful thing of 2D games on the PlayStation.
Do we have enough? Do we have a question to bring, Damon?
Oh, yeah.
How many questions?
Yeah, 5 questions.
In this game, can you be on foot or get inside of a tank?
Yes.
Okay. Is it Metal Slug?
Yes. Metal Slug.
Hey!
1996. Published by SNK for the Neo Geo platform, but developed by Nazca, which is a studio formed by former iRim developers who did stuff like In the Hunt. And they
I
had
should have known that. And I should have known the SNK thing. I know all those things already. I thought it was Neo Geo.
Disgruntled at iRim, and they started their own development studio, but then they were acquired by SNK the same year, 1996.
Metal Slug. Like the Michael Scott Paper Company.
Yeah. Also released on PlayStation, Saturn, and of course the Neo Geo.
Mm-hmm. Was the redacted a mention of Metal Slug Tactics?
No, the coming from arcades and then being ported to consoles. That's what
oh, said. Okay.
Got fun it. Game for the
Sorry, parents, what year was it, Damon?
96.
It's kind of crazy because I remember this game like having
like
kind of scandalous elements, like it being like blood. There's blood in it, for example, and there's some nudity and like stuff like that.
I don't know if there's nudity.
So I guess that makes sense. I would have placed it closer to Mortal Kombat with that stuff though. Mm.
Yeah, it has blood. You can toggle it off in the menu, and I'm always very disappointed when I encounter a Metal Slug machine with the blood turned off.
I feel the same. Like, if someone were to say, like, you know, Justin, you're forced to bet, what year did the first Metal Slug come out? I probably would have guessed, like, 92? 93?
I mean,
like 96 is, like, after the PS1. Like, that's a little bit late.
Yeah.
Especially since it was an arcade-first game. It's just this style of game in 96.
Yeah.
Well, you know, 3D, everyone was just so sort of enthralled with it. It's like... It's like getting a 2D animated movie, you know, after Toy Story came out, you know, it was rare.
Totally. Well, I'll have to check out the PlayStation version of that. I wonder how janky it is. Because, like, the Neo Geo was a heavy-duty system. Like, it was, you know, it was arcade games at home and then arcade games in the arcade with the same thing. And came in cartridges the size of a VHS. Like, that's pretty interesting to think of that as a PlayStation game.
Yeah.
Damon, do you know how many mainline Metal Slug games there are? Like, I know I've played 1, 2, and 3, but then it's like my recollection gets fuzzy after that of like they started remaking them and had spin-offs and ports.
There's also like Metal Slug X, but I don't think there's 10, so yeah, it's tough.
So I don't know how many actual like main Metal Slug games there are. They're not still making them, are they? Everything is just like a bastardization and remake and port now, or is there new stuff still coming out?
Now they're turning it into a tactics series, apparently.
Well, that's what, they're reusing Metal Slug sprites and all kinds of different stuff, which I think is fun and interesting. But I don't know. I feel like I want to go read up on the history of Metal Slug now.
So it wasn't 16-bit. And because it's arcade, I know it gets a little bit muddy, but was it technically a 32-bit 2D game?
I think so. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about
what was
arcade.
The Neo Geo.
Yeah,
is right. It made for the Neo Geo platform. So. I don't know what that
exactly.
I think it is.
Well, nice job. Off to a good start in the new year. Nice job, everyone. Thank you for the suggestion. Greg, viewers and listeners, if you have your own suggestions for 20 questions, email them to me at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com.
Oh, did you say what the redacted was?
Yeah. Yeah. That it was coming from arcades ported to.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry.
That is all the scoops we have for you this week. Like I said, we had a very exciting year ahead of us. Lots of great games and lots of fun scoops to be had. So thank you, Colin. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Mariah, working behind the scenes to make this episode possible. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.